Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We're here to discuss all of the great things that have gone on this week in Apple, and it won't take long because there's not been an awful lot, but we've got some of the cool stuff to do. I've got a few gripes, so which we can discuss. There could well be operator error, so I'm not saying off Apple yet, just steady on. Joining me, great bunch. This is the panel of panels, if we're going to do short panels anyway. Starting us off is Patrice. How's it going, bud?
Doing good. It's just busy and just doing a lot of crazy stuff right now.
Cool.
If I can.
Are you doing any work, or are you just DOSing now until January?
No, a little bit. Like, I'm doing a little bit of work here and there, helping people out with stuff and pushing stuff. But mostly I'm working also on my own projects right now, which is cool.
Oh, nice. Okay. But don't tell work that.
Well, it's their problem. They know. Like, I've told them. I'm like, hey, if you got something to do for me, just let me know. But
yeah, good on you. That wasn't Jeffrey falling over dead after his surgery on his neck. That was something some back at Callum's, I guess. But Jeffrey, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing awesome, and I'm so happy to see you today.
Yeah, no, especially after you had your surgery this morning.
Yeah, well, this morning was the easy part. It was last Friday that was a lot more intense, because that's when they were actually digging into my neck. No. So today it was take the stitches out, check the incision, make sure everything's healing well, there's no infection, and then, of course, the obligatory waiting before they
On Twitter, we bonded a little bit there, didn't we? Because apparently, the world over, doctors run behind time.
It's true. And based on our Twitter conversation, I feel even closer to you now than I did before.
But I don't get as upset as you because I'm not paying for it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sitting waiting, but I'm waiting for free. Ish.
Today, to go and have a doctor look at an incision and take the stitches out cost me $50.
What?
And with the way the medical system and insurance system works here, I was actually excited. That's all it cost was $50 to have them cut the stitches out.
I love the fact that Joe's just apologized for the bang because the customer couldn't work out how to use the door. Mate, this show over the years, if you go back and watch a few episodes, has the most horrific track record on technical stuff and audio quality. We go back and read some of the iTunes reviews, and it's like, this would be a great show if there wasn't such shit audio all the time. And they're fair as well. I can't even argue with them. Nope. So an errant bang, least of our worries, boy. Least. Talking of which, I don't know which line he's on. This is going to be a bit of a lot. R4, here we go. Callum's back.
Hello, I'm back.
You got the show title last week. You got the show title.
Yeah.
No, I'm back. Still in the cupboard.
Still in the cupboard. We decided to go with the cupboard again. It worked quite well last time from cancelling out all the noise out there.
So a dig around in the basement for a lovely backdrop.
A lovely blue board that's about 30, 40 years old, we reckon. An £11 microphone off Amazon.
Which sounds okay.
Which sounds beautiful. Some blue tack to hold the sign up in the background. Working pretty well.
You're the MacGyver. You're the A team of office development.
Yeah. Honestly, leave me with a barn full of bits and pieces. We'll have a nice recording studio in about a week.
Beautiful, nice. When they're all out, you'll be sitting there playing away, doing your own podcast on something. Mac favorites.
We'll see.
Cool. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. I hate Black Friday. I just loathe Black Friday because it's just, well, what are you going to buy? So, because someone has, and then someone goes, oh no, they haven't saved any money at all. And Apple's not great on Black Friday deals, is it? It doesn't give an awful lot back.
No.
It does not. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's surprising that they give you anything at all, like, since it's Apple. I mean, they give you something. It's, like, better than nothing. But they're simply, like, the standard day-to-day deals that you get on whatever Amazon are better than what Apple is offering right now.
Yeah, I mean, B&H Video is doing the best on the new MacBook Pro, the 16-inch. Mm-hmm. So they've got $200 off, which is okay, actually. That's a 10%. Yeah. That's 10%, so that's okay.
You take that. That's fine. Yeah, and Amazon has, I think, like $100 off on iPads, or at least on some iPads.
Yeah.
Which is actually also pretty nice. Like, stuff like that. It's not too bad, but as I said, it's not... And Apple, I think, I mean, one, you only get certain devices. Like, I checked, for example, the Apple Watches, only the third generations are even, like, eligible for anything. And then you get, like, a $25 gift card. That's it.
Yeah. Expercom is offering $437, which is a bit of a random number, off custom 16-inch MacBook configurations. As long as you upgrade the processor, the RAM, storage, and the graphics specifications, you will get that figure. So if you were going to do it, if you're sitting right, I am itching to buy myself a brand new 16-inch MacBook Pro, yeah, cool, today's the day.
Yeah. It's definitely that way. Like, if you're, like, let's say if you're wanting to buy something in, let's say, October, November, wait for Black Friday. Like, if you can. I mean, if you need it today, then obviously go buy it. But it's definitely there. The annoying piece is, like, all the emails. Like, it's a barrage of emails with Black Friday sales from everybody. And it has been going on. Like, it seems to be longer and longer. I mean, it used to be that you would get, like, the day before, the day off, you would get, like, a email. Now you're getting, like, 2 weeks in advance, you're getting pre-Black Friday deals and whatever. Like, it's just annoying.
Yeah. It's terrible.
And don't forget, it all leads up to Cyber Monday when we have more deal-ish things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, exactly. And then it goes on to Christmas deals, and, like, it's just never ending.
Has anyone looked longingly at the Echo Show?
No.
Can't say.
Because that's like half price today.
Yeah. Yes, it's a nice price if you're interested in an Echo Show. But I'm just, I don't know. That one doesn't call out to me.
No, and it's interesting you say that, because I love, you all know I love my Amazon Echoes. I got them everywhere. I wake up in the morning, I roll over, I say, Gertrude, turn on the studio radiators, and we get down here, it's piping hot. It's perfect, but... The show doesn't, I don't get the show so much. It's like, well, okay, I can watch YouTube videos on it. Big deal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already have iPhones, so we already have FaceTime.
Yeah. I think that's the point, is it's like, you know, the kids sit there and they're on their phones, you know, if we're sitting, we don't have phones at the table if we're doing dinner and stuff like that, but they will sit there and have their phones. And then he sits and watches, you know, when he's eating his breakfast on his own, because he gets up later than everyone else, he sits and watches his films on his phone. So I can't, I'm sitting going, oh, that's a really great deal. And then I sit for a while and go, that's probably a waste of time. Probably a waste of money for me. And I haven't done it. I haven't bought it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the trap with Black Friday, isn't it? Oh, it's a great deal. I'll buy it. And then you realize, what have I bought that for?
Yeah. Repent at leisure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It is a vortex of a gravity well of Black Friday, isn't it? Sucking you into the black hole of Black Friday, but wallet first.
Yes,
it's like, you know, like you like spaghettification, where they go, oh, your feet go in first, but then, you know, everything else strings out to infinite lengths. It's actually, you know, all the wallet goes in first, and it strings out to an infinite length, where you're clutching onto the one end, going, oh.
Yeah. That is so true.
Johnny's been removed from the leadership page.
Well,
we knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, we knew he would leave, so it wasn't really that surprising.
Yeah, I mean, he's a consultant now, isn't he? When he goes in to get his sushi, they'll spit on him.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the big question with that one is, like, I can't see Apple doing, like, Apple is not set up in a way, especially on, like, the design and the important stuff, to work with third parties. I would like, or to outsource stuff to third parties when it comes to the really, like, the product designs or whatever. So question is, what is he going to design for them, or what is he going to do for them? Is it just going to be whatever the internal design team creates something, and then they... Like, whatever, they send it to him for, like, feedback or comments? Or is he going to design like a bunch of whatever Apple Watch bands? Or like that's for me the big question. Like, what is he really going to do for Apple?
I think that's a really good question, because it's the thing is, if the design team is in the shadow of Johnny, mm-hmm. then you're always going to, you know, who comes forward? Who's the next Johnny? You know, because Johnny gets taken up in 1996 because Steve identifies his talent and just basically says, right, he's doing all of this now. You know, he's got a track record. We've had some interesting conversations. I love what he does. So you're out, buddy. This man's in. But you can't leave that organization, leave a vacuum, have someone come in and fill that vacuum, and then stop them from filling the vacuum. It makes no sense.
I think Johnny, the vacuum is as big as one might think. I mean, there's always been a big and a great team behind them. I mean, from what I've heard, there are people on that team that have been there as long as or even longer than Johnny. I think it's more the team has already stepped up. I mean, we've heard from a lot of sources that that he hasn't been doing or being as influential or as like doing as much recently, yes. I think he has started to step back over time. I mean, focusing at first on the campus and then on other stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's as big. I mean, anybody who leaves, especially leadership, always a little bit of a loss or even a bigger loss. But I think in his case, it was well prepared.
Well, I mean, Tim said he was going, didn't he, in the summer? At the start of the summer, really. So
I think it was like April or May even. Like it was announced.
I've got a quote here where he was going, Johnny's chuffing great. It was in June. So mm-hmm. it might have been announced before that. But
okay.
But yeah. It's so there's been a, if they've only just taken him down, there's clearly been a handover or transition. Jeff, you had some points there.
Well, first, Patrice hit pretty much every point that I had. So nicely done. the one that you didn't hit that I think we should add in is that Johnny's new company, they've already said, is going to be doing some contract work for Apple. So my guess is that the projects that Johnny has been involved in, where he still had his fingers involved in the process, those will be projects that Johnny's new company consults on. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that whatever his company does with Apple, that's going to taper off over time as the projects right. that he's doing get wrapped up. And then they won't be consulting for Apple anymore.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing. I mean, he's working with, what's his name? Newman. I think he's probably, or both of them are probably itching to like design new stuff, like different stuff. I mean, just imagine someone who has worked on basically more or less, I mean, bar the like occasional new product that came around, he has worked on the same things over and over. Like, I mean, you can only design so many iMacs and so many MacBooks, and the iPhones are like incremental improvements. It gets repetitive over time. And like after, what is it, 30 years now?
Yeah,
almost. It's been 30 a long years.
He was head in 96, so.
Yeah, so it's 20 years, 20 something years then. It's, I think he's probably bored. And I mean, he's also in a manager, at the end, he was more in a manager position. I mean, we don't know how much like influence he had, probably more than like a typical manager would have. But like, he wasn't the one who was really executing on stuff. Like, he wasn't the one who was designing it. He was guiding the design. That's what I'm at least guessing, like based on simply like how it was portrayed to the outside world. I mean, he was influential, but he's still a manager. He's managing a team that's designing stuff.
Oh yeah.
So I think now he can design whatever he wants, a new car, like whatever, TVs, yeah, cool. furniture, gardens, like whatever he wants, he can design. Like he will find a client that we'll pay him for that.
And then we can never hear from him again. Callum, sorry, go on, mate.
No, I don't think we're going to see a radical change in any way at all. I think, you know, as Jeff said, You know, he's still going to be there in the background. I think it may even be a case of when they have something they need a bit of guidance on, they get in touch with him almost. So I don't think we're going to see any radical changes just because of how incremental it's been and how kind of, you know, it's very rare that Apple has a massive kind of, you know, left turn with a design. It's always very, we'll stick with something and improve it over time and mould it and change it to newer technologies and things like that.
Yeah, no, it's good.
You know, I'm really interested to see what Johnny does design next outside of Apple. Mm-hmm. Because
me too.
I mean, if you look at consumer electronics over the past 20 years, Johnny Ive has defined what those devices look like, because, you know, Apple would create the device and then everyone else copies the design. Mm-hmm. So what is he going to do next that just changes the whole market's design perspective in the same way?
Yeah, there's a great point here from Deepan where I'll just read this out. He says, with the length of Apple design and development cycles, I've got to wonder that Ive has been out of the main design workflow for a very long time with the replacement already in place and running everything. He's been more of a figurehead. And I think there is a value there in terms of the shareholders. They want to see a transition. They want to see an elongated transition when actually all of that work had probably been done. They could have said, right, Johnny, get your stuff. Off you go. And he knew that it was all done and dusted and he could walk out, but then the shareholders would go, oh no. And then the share price gets hit and that kind of stuff. Whereas now you've told them it's coming, and now, you know, there is an Asperger's-y type thing to say to shareholder responses, isn't there?
Yeah. And I mean, I also don't want to downplay, like, I mean, as Jeff said, he has like heavily influenced and defined the industry. And I mean, he doesn't have to be the one sitting like at the workbench and creating prototypes. Like doesn't have to be it. Like he can guide, like he can hire the right people. He can guide good people. He can teach them. Mm-hmm. And he can simply like give feedback and through doing that, like change what is designed. So it's, as I said, I don't want to downplay what he did the last 20 something years. Like even if he wasn't more in a manager position, he was probably still very influential, and that influence will, as Jeff said, probably last for a while in the company, simply because the precedence that he set, the direction that he's put Apple on, will simply continue. And then, like, he's still there. Like, he's not dead.
I've got a Sunflower iMac out the side here in my collection. Nice. And it is still an iconic design. It is still such a simple and beautiful design. Yeah, okay, it's not got a massive processor, and it doesn't do very well when you're running more than Leopard on it. But, you know, it's iconic. It is just one of the best-looking computers ever designed. And I've also got the Bondi Blue G3, and that's another iconic design, and that's an Ive stamp on it. It's got, you know, little handle and that kind of thing. That's, you know, who puts a handle on a computer? Johnny Ive did. The only thing that really pisses me off about this story is when you're doing a story on Johnny Ive and it says, Ive led Apple's design team since 1996, and you cry, well, they haven't put any quotes on that. Because it's like, because he says Ive, I have. I've sat, maybe it's a dyslexia thing, but I've been sitting looking, trying to work out what's a quote and what isn't. So, and actually, Johnny's made no quotes in here, so there's none. So that was easy.
Yeah. What's also very interesting is Apple, like the leadership page. Like if you look at it, who's on there? Like the VPs that they mentioned, for example. They have probably hundreds of vice presidents, and I think they mentioned 4 or 5 on that page. So that tells you a little bit, like, I mean, what is important and what they want to put front and center.
Yeah.
Like the people that are on page. I mean, obviously the like upper, like Tim Cook and Luca Maestri and all those people, like the C-suite, they're obviously on that page, but anybody else doesn't have to be there. It's more a marketing thing or like a, yeah, it's a marketing thing. Like what they want to portray to the outside world.
I think we're in an age where you've got to be touchable, though. Now people have to know who you are. They have to know, yeah, and particularly shareholders again. And we'll see. Johnny Ive was on Blue Peter a few years ago from his lab, says Deep Pan. Very interesting. He's put a link into YouTube. If you're thinking, oh, I'd love to watch that video, then all you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 29th of November, Friday, and scroll down to 453, and you can have a look there and see what Deep Pan's put in and whether it's any good or not. Same thing goes with the cool things and the pics and the stories tonight in the big show. If you want to watch stuff, just got to go to /chat. Is anyone else getting a buzzing?
Yep.
Yes.
Is the chat room, are you getting that buzzing? Is it coming out on the main feed or is it just ours? Oh, it's Callum's gone Cylon.
Oh, no. That's Skype for you.
Callum, can you just mute and then... Yeah, it's on your mic, mate. So you've got a Cylon issue there. I think you might need to restart Skype.
Okay,
should have bought the 12-pound mic instead of the 10-pound mic.
11.50.
There's no buzz on the feed, says Deep Pan, but I think that's going to change because that's definitely a Skype issue. So yeah. He'll be back once he's restarted Skype, and then he'll have to restart his computer, and then I'll have to restart everything. Not least of all the machine that he's on, or stick him on Line 5 if he comes back and it's still there. Because that means it's me, not him. But don't tell him it's always me, for God's sake. It's wonderful. We've got a brand new sponsor and they think I'm credible. Hilarious. Oh, shit, Joe's watching. Damn. Yeah, that was definitely you, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is
so well as well. Oh.
No, it's a Skype issue, mate. It just does it. It's anything where you've got audio stuff. It just, you get that. So I get that. You know what you already said? I have to start everything up in sequence. Otherwise, we get crap audio. That's what we get. And it's got to all start. I've got to start Logic first, and then I've got to start Colloquy, and then I can start Wirecast. If I can start Wirecast, and then I start the audio, I get all of that Cylon. It's horrible. GB Redneck has made a comment, third week in a row, that the video is luscious.
Hey.
Deep Pan says, is it a USB mic that you bought or a wired mic?
It's connected by USB.
Yeah, he said, if you get the Cylon again, try unplugging and replugging straight away and that might solve it. So you might not have to restart. No, never mind.
Restarting.
And those of you that are going to write in and say, oh, it's incredible, we had that little tiny bit of crap audio. Mate, you've heard nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
This network is dogged by audio issues on a regular
basis. Should have heard it last week before I was in the cupboard.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Don't worry about it. So Apple has changed all the logos to red because it's World AIDS Day on December the 1st. They're showing their support towards it. You got all the product red stuff as well. So if you buy anything that's product red, there's a donation. But Apple are giving... and I did find the figure, and I now can't find it. Typical. I want to say it's $10 or $1 for every purchase.
$1.
$1 for every purchase of anything, mm-hmm. Isn't it? Any item.
Anything bought in the App Store, in the Apple Store, sorry, online or physical stores, using Apple Pay.
Oh, right, okay.
So. Which is still, I mean, a lot of people are using Apple Pay now, especially since it has rolled out into how many countries.
Yeah. Apple, it's a good number. I do like the fact the social responsibility stuff that Apple does is you know, some of the environmental stuff they talk about, and this is true of every company, you know, we're carbon neutral. How can you be? A big bloody truck with 500 computers in it, that can't be neutral. But it's a playing with numbers, but the fact that they actually do the product red stuff and donate sizably to mm-hmm. AIDS charities every year is a great thing. I'm not going to knock it at all.
Yeah, I think I don't remember the exact number, but it's somewhere north of $200 million that they have.
Why?
Since they started it, like, it was 9 or 10 years ago, that they have donated.
That's impressive.
That's good, a lot of money.
Because that's not, you know, there's nothing requiring them to do that. They're doing that out of...
Yeah, and it's all, I mean, so far it has mostly been people buying the product red stuff. I mean, I bought a couple of things like watch bands and phones and whatever. So it's also people buying, like choosing those products for probably hopefully that reason.
At the risk of getting letters of complaint here, as Tim is openly gay, is the support of product red a direct result of that, or is this a social responsibility thing that Apple think they wanted to do? And even if Tim leaves, you know, this will continue. It's not, and I know it's not a gay degees before anyone writes in, that's not what I'm suggesting, but it's something that's in the forefront a lot more in the gay community. So with Tim being at the lead, it then, you know, gets more impetus. Is that going to change when Tim goes and moves on? It's going to stay the same.
It'll stay the same.
That's cool.
From what I remember, what I've heard, it's more a Steve Jobs thing. Like he was friends with, what's his name? The guy behind
Bono.
Yeah. Bono, so yeah. He's friends with them and he wanted to support it. It's also a good cause. So it kind of made sense. And so it was more a Steve Jobs thing.
Yeah.
From what I've heard. I mean, I don't know. Like, I haven't been in the room, but that's what I've heard.
Winder Ryder says that he's just bought a new iPod Touch and it's a Project Red item as well. I didn't know they did those.
Nice.
I didn't know they did the Touch in Project Red though. I thought it was like, wow, cool. The thing is as well, it's just like, why would you not buy a Project Red item? Why buy anything else from Apple? And it's like, oh yeah, I really want a gray phone. Well, you're probably going to stick it in a case anyway. Why not just buy the Project Red version and then you get the support?
It doesn't
and
cost
it goes
you
in the black
phone to do that.
Exactly. I don't get it. You know, I would go and I said the bloke sitting with a space gray iPhone, but
the problem with iPhones usually is that the Project Red iPhones usually came out or come out later, like somewhere in spring.
In my defense, so I don't think there was. It. Yeah, I don't think there was a Project Red in the XS Max on day one.
So
I don't know if there is still now. I bought a Project Red cover, but the phone itself is just space gray.
Well, I also like the color. Nice. Like it's a really nice color. I mean, colors are kind of like subjective, but I really like that color.
It is. It's a nice red, isn't it? I mean, because I always talk about blues and. Generally speaking, I'm not a great lover of blue because the blues that get used in things are not nice blues. So if you look at like lapis lazuli, that kind of deep blue where it's verging on the purple, that is a gorgeous color and I would use that anywhere and everywhere. I love the blue in our Mac logo and I picked it. If you look at the screen here, it's where you're all on. I don't know why I'm pointing because I'm not on anymore. But that blue, now, I don't mind it for like the piping around the screens, but I would describe that as council toilet blue. So that's the kind of blue that they paint public toilets in. And it's a horrible, horrible blue. It's fine for definition because it goes with the Mac logo and it, you know, I see why it works, but I would never paint a large surface area with that color blue.
Mm.
You get me?
That's true.
And it's a nice red because you get some reds. They're too pale. They don't have any depth to them. And it's not, it's a good red. I totally agree with you, mate. Here we go. Joe's very good today.
Yeah, good.
Straight in the chat room. You can even buy one from IMN Max. imnmax.com/, and then it's a whole load of stuff about a Project Red. Now, Callum, do you give a pound to the Project Red if you sell that one?
I think we should do, definitely.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Apple does anyway. But
Mo's sitting in the car listening going, no! Yeah.
Definitely something we should do, I'd say. Get in the kind of spirit with it as well because, you know, it's a really important thing that that Apple do with it. So,
it's good.
You know, giving money to any charity can't ever be a bad thing, can it?
Nope, totally. Good question here, and I think this is Magic Man's put down. Depends on who comes in next, and I don't think it does. I think it will continue. But will Big Phil keep it? And I think Phil Schiller is not going to be the next chief exec. I don't see that at all.
I agree with you.
If anyone's at the front, it's got to be Air Force One, hasn't it? Surely.
I have a feeling that is already in the process. There was a restructuring fairly recently. I think when they reshuffled the whole, like with Angela Ahrens leaving, they reshuffled a couple of things around that, I think, or maybe before, I can't remember. Anyway, they reorganized a lot of things under, what's his name? I think it's Jeff Williams, the chief executive, the chief operational officer, CEO, whatever. Chief operations officer?
Well, now, normally in organizations, a COO is a shoo-in for the CEO, isn't he?
Yeah. And the fact that more stuff is now reporting to him instead of Tim Cook directly, should tell you something that that might actually be the plan. I mean, we don't know. Like, it could be, it's definitely going to be someone internally. I don't think Apple is ever going to get someone from the outside ever again.
Not again.
Oh, no. So you're thinking of the fizzy drinks, dude, aren't you?
Not just that. But there were a bunch of them. Like,
there's also Gil Emilio. Yeah. Although Gil Emilio was a necessary CEO because someone had to take it on the chin so that they could start fixing the company.
Is it John? Who was it? John Browse? Do you remember the episode that we did where they'd appointed John, and I want to say Browse or Brower, but he was head of PC World here in the UK. And we did that podcast, and all the Americans go, "Oh, that's a really interesting appointment. Can't wait to see what he's going to do and what he's going to do with the retail stores and stuff like that." And every English person is going, "No, he was the head of the worst computer firm in Britain ever." You know,
he just doesn't
get it. And like 3 months, he's gone. Yeah. We told you.
Yeah. By the way, I checked. Jeff Williams is definitely the chief operating officer.
Yeah.
So I was right about that.
Dixon's, that was it. The Dixon Store Group, which is, includes PC World. And if you're watching, mate, I don't mean to say you were crap, but you just weren't going to meld in. You probably did a great job at PC World, but you just weren't going to fit in with Apple.
Apple is such a different, I mean, from everybody who has ever worked there or still works there, you hear it. Apple is a very different company culture-wise, and you need someone who fits in with that, like at least on the leadership level, I mean, in general, but also especially on the leadership level. And I mean, Angela Ahrendts, she did a good job for she did exactly what she was hired for, I think. It just didn't work all that well with what Apple wanted, I think, or ultimately what they realized what they wanted. I think they just didn't know.
I was close. John Bauer. Okay.
Yeah. So, it's definitely, whoever is going to replace Tim Cook eventually, I mean, we don't know when. It could be anytime soon. It could be another 10, 20 years. Like, we don't know.
See, the other interesting thing with the Johnny Ive position is the fact that you had a designer there with board level presence.
Mm-hmm.
There's no publicity about the new person, is there? And I think, do you see that the board level presence for design is going to disappear because it's going to be a subdivided reporting structure through to Frederiki and not go through at board level? Because that would be quite a shocking change, I think.
I mean, remember, there was never, I mean, up until a couple of years ago, that board position didn't exist. Johnny Ive wasn't a chief design officer. That was created for him, I think, for the explicit purpose of keeping him in the company while at the same time removing him a little bit from the day-to-day process. I think they even stated that to some extent.
It was a transitional position.
Yeah. So that it disappeared, I think, is I think they should have it, or they should at least have someone with a more product focus, because that is, I think, the thing that is missing right now, because that was Steve Jobs. He was really a product person, and Tim Cook definitely isn't that. But I mean, I think they should make it more visible, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that I think that you're going to lose a board presence for design, which could impact.
Yeah, and they don't have anybody design wise from what I can see in there. I mean, there's marketing, which is a little bit maybe in that direction, but it's like most positions right now that they put on the leadership page are either the official ones that they need, the chief financial officer, Tim Cook, obviously, HR and retail, which is under Deirdre O'Brien right now.
Yeah.
And then it's all engineering. Like, there is someone for AI, there's operations, obviously, there is software engineering with Federighi, Internet Software Services with ADQ. Like, there's, it's all very engineering focused.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting one to see. Really interesting. The new AirPod Pros that they've got. There's a story which is part of the Nikkei Asian Review and a Bloomberg report, which I know these things are rumors. I totally get it, but I think this is probably fairly credible, that the earphones are doing quite well. They're talking about production increases in Vietnam to 2 million units a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of earphones.
Yeah, I mean the AirPods are in general very popular, and I'm guessing, especially for Christmas this year, there will be a lot of AirPods out there, like on the Christmas tree.
I think the one thing that has struck me over the years of doing stuff for large businesses is kind of that moment where you realize the economy of scale of an operation. So a few years ago at Christmas, they shut down a section of the railway. And I was talking to a guy there and saying, so what's the implications of this? And he said, so normally about this time, there'd be a train with 50,000 bottles of wine on it for Marks and Spencer's to go to their distribution hub in Manchester to feed the Manchester and outlying area. And you're kind of like, right, for the weekend. And you're kind of you're like, holy shit. You know, Manchester drinks 50,000 bottles of wine in a weekend. But you sit and think, well, okay, X thousand bars, X thousand homes, X thousand off licenses, how many supermarkets? You can soon see how you eat through 50,000 bottles in a weekend. But it's like, especially, and he's like, all of those, because we've closed the railway, all of those have got to go on the road. So there's big implications for closing the railway. Mm. And I'm like, that's really cool. And people should know that. But the economy of scale of, wow. And then you're saying, right, earphones, 2 million earphones a month are being consumed by the world population, and there's still a back order of them. That's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Incomprehensible numbers.
Yeah. I mean, Apple is selling, how many is it? 70, 80 million iPhones a quarter.
Yeah.
So I think even the Christmas quarter is more like I can't remember, like, but it's a massive number.
I'm going to chuck a figure out there, and I think I might be right. I thought it was 400,000 Android phones an hour are activated, which I just, that just blows my mind. If it's not and it's a day, then it still blows my mind. 2 billion YouTube videos a day being uploaded. 2 billion a day being uploaded.
Yeah.
How can 2 billion people find enough time to produce those videos?
Well, most of them are probably from one person who's got a really popular channel.
That's true.
Probably half of those are Ellis. This story, right? I sat there and I was like, oh, okay, so I'll catch up on the holiday ad. And it's the Apple releases a surprise holiday ad. And I looked at it and I read through it. And I got to the end of reading through it. I was like, you know what? I can't be arsed because it's going to be treacly, turgid, saccharine shite. And maybe it's not.
I found it really good. Like, really? I cried at the end.
You cried at the end of an Apple advert. I did. Fanboy.
It was a good story.
I have not seen the ad yet. I'm bringing it up right now.
Yeah, I think Apple's Christmas ads have been really good storytelling, really good like production value. I could see like towards the end, I knew where it was going, but it was just so good.
Yeah, I didn't cry at the end of Lassie when the dog died, or Bambi when his mum died. I don't cry at I cry at the Olympic Games, yeah, but not. Mm. I'm not going to cry at the end of an apple. Does the granddad die at the end? Because that might be a tearjerker.
But I shouldn't laugh.
Unless one of the main characters pegs it, you can't cry at the end of an advert for Apple.
Why not? Like it. I didn't see it as an ad. I mean, it is an ad for Apple. Yes, like it like puts especially the iPad front and center. But it's just a good story. And like, why not?
Are we suggesting it's Capra-esque then?
Maybe. Like it's like especially the Christmas ads. I mean, Apple's ads, I think in general, are most of them good. I mean, there's like the occasional one where it's like, but it... They're just good.
Jesus. Magic Man's put spoiler alert. I don't think the granddad probably dies at the end in an Apple ad, mate. Jesus, come on.
No. Yeah,
probably not.
Bob Beach. I had the same attitude as you and towards it. It's an Apple ad. Couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, I mean.
And then he's got Patrice. It's an ad.
And it's fine. Like, I mean, if you don't want to watch it, like, it's fine. Like, nobody's like, it's not like a big blockbuster movie that everybody has to see, whatever. Like, it's fine. Yeah, but it is just a good story. Like I do remember last year's Christmas Apple ad, and it was a good story too.
I've so, just watched 44 seconds of it and given up.
So the thing that I noticed, I still have a minute left. They didn't use an iPad Pro because they're using the first gen Apple Pencil, or they're using an older iPad Pro.
No, they're probably using the new was it iPad Air?
Yeah,
which still uses the first gen. Which is kind of realistic if you think about it. Like, I mean, you wouldn't give your kids like an iPad Pro or like it.
And in the final analysis, they've got us talking about it. So job done, Apple. Well done.
Yeah, well done, Apple.
You bastards. You had us. You got us.
It said, I like them. It's just a good story.
How are we getting on with Apple TV Plus then, boys? Hey, Jeff, have you watched anything yet?
No, I haven't even signed up for Apple TV Plus yet.
That's different.
That was a sweet commercial.
Okay, good. Callum, have you watched any?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't signed up.
I'll have the conversation by my bloody self then.
you can always count on me.
I am fed up, right? So I've got a MacBook Air in front of me. It's a 2014 MacBook Air. It is running Catalina. Everything's on it. I put no other software on it apart from the fact that it transmits the screen. Oh. So it transmits the screen for when I do the shots that come up here. And when I start playing anything on Apple TV Plus, it plays through. And then when the content starts, it goes black and it just plays the audio. And someone said, have you got any screen copying software on it? I went, nope, not at all. But I am running the Wirecast software that does the broadcasting through to the right.
Maybe there's a link.
I'm gonna switch it off and take it down, and I'm gonna have another go. I might restart the computer while you guys talk about your first look, Patrice, at Truth Be Told. This is the Octavia Spencer one, isn't it? And Aaron Paul.
I'm really interested in that show.
I haven't watched that one yet. Like, it's on the list, but I haven't watched that one.
All right, well, talk amongst yourselves and watch the trailer.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, so far, I'm like, the content is, it hasn't, my opinion hasn't changed too much on like what it was in the beginning. Like, I'm still on the fence on the morning show. It's growing on me, but it's still, I'm not sure. The same with For All Mankind. Like, it's growing. It's getting better. It's. I would say it's a typical first season of any show.
Well, For All Mankind, and lo and behold, it's now working. So it was that. Damn. Mm-hmm. So For All Mankind, I thought initially was a great show, and then last week it was just like, oh, what is that? Because that's like a crap drama. We did say that mm-hmm. on the big show, but then. This week they got more back into the spacey stuff and it was pretty good again. It was okay. Morning show got really gritty last week and it's kind of, it lost a little bit of that emphasis today, but it's still a good show. It's grown for All Mankind has gone really good. One shit episode and then okay. Morning show is on a growth pattern. I haven't got really I'm kind of like, it was interesting at the start. It was like, oh, that's an interesting premise. I like the idea of what they're doing here. And there's some really cool bits. We're like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's really cool. But then the plot is just like, okay, you don't know what to write next, do you? You just want to, it's like, you know, you're just sitting there. And you can imagine there's a group of writers sitting in a Monday morning say, well, really got good reviews last week on that from the focus group. So, what should we write this week?
Yeah.
And it's like they've written it. And that's a lot of American episodes end up doing that. They go into like a phase where they try and write week on week to just maintain the interest.
I agree. Like C is still one of my favorite shows after Dickinson. I think it's a little bit of writing issues, figuring out what the important thing, what is the, the story really, sometimes it's also a budget thing. Like sometimes, I mean, remember Star Trek, there were filler episodes that they just needed to, because they needed whatever 13 episodes and only had, like they spent their budget on the beginning and the end, and in the middle they kind of had to figure something out, do something low budget, stuff like that, or like simply didn't have much time because they were focused on the other ones. And I think the same thing is happening here a little bit. I mean, they get really, like, towards the end of this week's episode, C got really interesting again, but there was definitely a middle point where I was like, okay, what's going on? Like, I don't even know. Like, it's kind of losing me. So we'll see. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm trying hard here not to give plot spoilers or anything like that. Bob Beach says, I disagree. Yeah. You and liked episode 6 of For All Mankind. I want to know more about the characters. And I've also been watching on Amazon Prime Carnival Street. Not Carnival Street, what's it called? It is Carnival Street. The kind of fairy thing. And it's really interestingly done. There's a bit of kind of...
I really enjoyed that.
I haven't finished it yet. Money up to 6. But there's like a bit of that which is kind of... There's a feel of it about Peaky Blinders. There's a little feel of it about the other police story that they used to... That they did. I can't remember. The runners, the Bow Street ones, you know, down in East London. There's a bit of that flavor to it. And then there's like overtones of the Holocaust and those kind of things and persecution. But they go through the first 4 episodes and then all of a sudden there's an episode where it's like a retrospective look back at something. And I'm kind of, I think it's a negative because Bob's saying I like the character development and I get that and he's right. But I want to see that at the start. I want to see the characters grow and change. Whereas it's almost like, we know that if we'd showed that, even that's chronologically first, if we'd shown that episode first, everyone would turn off. Because actually we've done it really badly. And you lose watchers in the middle of series because you put that retrospective back in to try and make up for it. Orange is the New Black, for example, that first 3 seasons, wow, what a show, killer show. Season 4, it was all about looking back at how they got to where they were there. And it's like, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. And we stopped watching it last season because it's just utter bollocks. It's like, you know, you don't know what to write, do you? You have no concept of a good storyline. So, oh shit, we're getting close to the release deadline. Let's just do something. It doesn't work. And I want to see him. And she's going on about Margot and Von Braun. In that episode, Bob, they go through this thing. There's a whole espionage-y politico drama plays out. But then they don't mention it the following week. Done. That's it. What was that about? Because both of those characters aren't featuring this week at all. So... why did I go and watch all of that? Why did I sit through that interminable bollocks to not even have a plot point develop the following week?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. No sense.
That's what I like about the morning show. Like what they're tackling is, and it's more getting more clear what the important bits are, and the whole Me Too movement and what's going on. Like on a corporate level, like the people who are protecting them, that's becoming more clear. And that's really interesting to see. Like, I mean, because it is not black and white. It's not like one person did something bad and the other person didn't. Like it is a very gray area, and they're exploring that. And also like looking at it from a corporate level, like what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to approach that topic?
I think they're playing out the Me Too stuff very well. I think it is balanced. I don't think it's not going pro one or anti the other. They're doing it and they're showing both sides of the arguments of it. I think there's a relationship between 2 people in the show and they're trying to hide it because they're worried about corporate seeing it. And the way that played out this week with the conversations with HR were just incredible. It's like, so I totally get why she's asking those questions, but I totally see that response of incredulous, how dare you, from the people that she's questioning when they've come forward. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah,
exactly. And it's also like, they're not just talking about the past and saying like what happened before, but also the effects that this whole discussion has on the people, like on all, like everybody involved, like on the corporate level, like everything, like the whole thing is like, it's said, it's not black and white. It's very well done.
It is. Yeah. And I love the fact that you sit there and you go, oh, that's such crap. That's the negative side of the Me Too thing that I hate. And then they come back with a counterpoint and you kind of, well, that's good. I'm glad you've done that. Cause that's balanced that point off. Breaking news. Did it. Apple is holding a media event on December the 2nd, honoring favorite apps and games of 2019.
That was announced like a week ago.
Okay. Well, no, I've only just been found out. It's breaking news for me, mate.
Okay.
Well, that still makes it breaking news.
Yeah, yeah. It's in New York City, interestingly. And I can't think of anything I'd be bothered about covering less.
Because it's not an event really to be covered. I mean, they're inviting media, they're inviting app and game makers. That's it. Like, there will probably not even be a live stream or anything, because it's more like it's an award show. Like, it's like the Academy Awards from Apple.
I got to see Tim in a tux and a big band playing some swing and
yeah, probably.
It's the Oscars of Apple.
Deepin is funny. I didn't say it was current or interesting.
No, but it was new to me. It's still breaking. I'm fine. You can all write and complain. I don't give a toss.
No, it's good for the apps and games that get awards. Like, it's nice for them to have an event that they can go to and get something for it.
Yeah, but Patrice, you can't have an Oscars to replace the fact you've got a shit search function. I've got games I know the name of. I type the name in accurately in the search function, and they're still the fifth on the list. And there's some other bloody program that's higher that isn't titled that. And it's how can that happen?
Yeah.
Are they bringing us the golden apples?
Yeah. Is that like the raspberries?
Oh, do you know what? I'm really impressed here, because we there's bugger all news and we've still done 51 minutes.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you and supported by two fantastic companies that look after us, and we really do value them most highly. First one is TSO Hosts. You've got to get out on the socials. All they want from you is brand recognition. Get the BTN army out on and say thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech, because they pick up all our bandwidth. They give us a load of charges. There's actually going to be a blog post coming out this week about BTN. And I've actually gone out to a few of the listeners and said, you know, here's what, you know, rather than me say what I think this is about, you tell me what you think it's about. And we've got some responses from some of the guests and some of the listeners about why they listen to BTN and what it's about and what they take from it. So that should be really good. If you want a WordPress site, then, you know, that can be a bit daunting to start off with, but WordPress is a lot more usable than it ever was now. And if you go to tsohost.com/WordPress, you can get in there for £12 a year, you can get quite a decent size WordPress site for you to start pushing your business out on, or running a gallery for the family to come and see the kids if they can't, you know, from far across the world. It's brilliant. If you want an e-commerce site, it's only £60 a year. So that's actually really, really cool. And of course, don't forget, for all of your hosting needs, use the offer code BTN20. That reinforces that we are driving custom to them, although that's not the primary aim. But it does get you 20% off your basket for hosting services. So it's well worth doing. Check out tsohosts.com and really thank them for their support of BTN, because we wouldn't exist without one. I would say every week, and it sounds like, oh, he's saying the same thing again, but we really wouldn't. Simple as that. And the other one is IMN Max. Callum's here with us from IMN Max, giving us his opinion. They are his own opinions and not necessarily those of IMN's Max, particularly any discounts that are offered. if you're listening, Mo, yeah. If you've got a broken iPhone, they can repair it. If you've got a malfunctioning Mac, then they can have a look inside and see what's causing it. If you've got data that you've lost on your Mac, take it into them. They will do data recovery on that. And I think you probably do it on Windows as well, wouldn't you, Cal?
We do offer data recovery services on Windows.
All over, yeah. If you've broken your Windows machine, go elsewhere. This is a Mac service. So, yeah, repairs, refurbishments, upgrades. So, Mullers, I know, talking about taking his Mac Mini in and having an SSD stuck in it. To make it go a little bit faster and upgrading the RAM on it. So, you know, that's really, really cool stuff. Have you got a deal of the week for us, Cal?
So I'm going to use that Project Red iPhone. So it's actually been reduced from about £400 to just over £300. So Project Red has been fully refurbished by ourselves. It's in mint condition, absolutely pristine.
iPhone 7 Plus, isn't it? iPhone 7 Plus.
Yeah, a 7 Plus, yeah.
And 128 gig, so a decent size drive in it as well for storage.
Yeah. Really, really nice gift for Christmas.
Yep. Go to imenmax.com, and if you want to send anything, just send an email to info@imenmax.com. Thanks to Mo and you guys for your support, especially coming on the show and giving us your input, mate. It really is cool. Long may it continue. And if you'd like to get on, then again, go out on the socials. Thanks to @imenmax for supporting @BritishTech. And if you want to get in there on the socials as well and give them an inquiry, how much would it cost for? They're going to tell you. It's simple as that. It doesn't cost you anything to ask for a quote. So we're good to go. Right, time for the cool things. Patrice, do you want me to come back to you, or have you actually got one? Because you were fretting at the start.
I got one. I already put it in the chat. So my cool thing today is actually a cross-platform app. You can get it. It's called Authy. It's an app for two-factor authentication codes. So like the Google Authenticator type system. It works on Android and iOS, on like Windows and Mac. And it's a simple app. It's a simple service, but you could basically put in whatever your two-factor authentication system is for whatever your WordPress website, TSO host probably supports that. A lot of websites have two-factor authentication nowadays and hopefully don't use the unsecure email or SMS versions anymore. You would just put it in, it's secure, and it syncs across your devices. So I can put like a code in on my phone and use it on my Mac and vice versa. I've been using it for a couple of years and it just works. Like it's just there. And I like keeping things separate. So, I mean, I know 1Password, for example, has that functionality as well. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket and have like the password right next to your authentication code.
No, absolutely. Good, like that. Comments here. Joe says he loves us. Thanks, Joe. Magic Man says he's got an external drive that stopped working. Could he drop it by next week and you guys have a look at it? You're on mute, dude.
Absolutely, of course. Sorry, I was talking.
I love the fact that you go on mute, mate, because that's really good technique and fantastic. Thank you ever so much. But
it isn't that good when I don't unmute, is it?
I'd like to say you're the only person that's ever forgotten to unmute, mate, but it's cancer in this place. It really is. Yes, says Joe. He's either having sex in there with someone or he's saying yes to the drive. So we can't hear it.
In the drive in either way. So.
Yeah. Jeff, have you got a cool thing for us?
I do. It's not fancy, but it's awesome. I'm a big fan of the RadTech lightning cables.
Oh, cool.
And I bought one and put it in my car a couple years ago. And I'm still using the same cable. And prior to having this cable, I would probably about every 3 months, I had to go buy a new lightning cable from Apple. And this cable outlasted my car, so it moved over to my new car when my old one just finally gave up on life, and it's just a fantastic cable, holds up really well.
This is where you say, yeah, okay, I did slide the car into a tree, however, but yeah, it's a great cable.
Cable survived.
And
my car actually, it was a 20-year-old Volvo cross country station wagon.
Nice.
And it finally got to the point where I couldn't replace parts as fast as they were wearing out. So it was time to just let that one go out to pasture.
And if you look at the shape of this is reminiscent of the big show from last week, because Atlee would be here talking about this cable and going, yeah, it's outlived most of my victims. Atlee can't be with us tonight because he's desperately trying to stop the Canadian Mountain Police from entering his premises and finding all the dead bodies. So if you want to know what that's about, you just got to listen to the big show. It was a really good one last week. Mm-hmm. Really cool. Good pick, mate. And not bad on the pricing as well. I'm quite impressed at that. 3 meters for 24 bucks. That's okay.
Yeah, they're I think very nicely priced too.
Yeah, excellent.
Also lifetime warranty.
Oh, right. So if it breaks, you just get a new one full stop.
Yeah. And they're really good with their customer service.
Like that. Excellent. Like that a lot. Really good pick, mate. Really good. Good value for money.
Yes.
Callum, your cool thing, please.
So I'm going to talk about another piece of software that we use fairly regularly. It's called DriveDX. So this piece of software basically gives you the ability to analyze the hardware parameters of a failing hard drive. So if you've got a machine with a spinning disk in particular, you can download it. It gives you a free trial. And it will basically tell you if your hard drive's failing, if you need to be worrying about data loss. You can also buy it as well, have it running on your system in the background, and it will give you live updates. So as soon as something goes in your hard drive, it will tell you, and that's when you can start looking at getting a replacement and getting that swapped out.
I was going to say, yeah, because I know that drives can fail at any time, so I get that. Mm-hmm. But you know, is this really useful to see the pre-indications and getting up to the point? Mm-hmm. Do you if you run this, can you get a lot of warning?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when we get people in specifically who come in for a separate issue, say they've got an older MacBook with, they need a battery change or they need a screen change or glass or something along those lines. We actually, as a matter of procedure, run everyone's drive through this piece of software, and we can actually say to people, look, you're probably looking, you've got 6 to 12 months or something like that left on your drive before you're going to start risking data loss. So it's a really good preventative tool, if anything. So
I like that, yeah. And when you say you can buy it, what's the cost of that?
$20 for a single.
That's nothing, isn't it? Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's especially good for spinning hard drives. I mean, as Callum said, they can fail at any point in time, but like especially spinning hard drives usually show some, most of the time show some indication before.
Yeah.
It even monitors SSDs as well. So obviously they're less likely to fail, but it will give you information on those. So if it's a SSD that gets used a lot, we're talking, like massive kind of data transfers, then it is useful for that as well. But yeah, really good thing that we use pretty much every day here. So yeah.
Good man. I like that. Good pick. Some good value for money there today. The cable, the thing. Yeah, really good. Really good. And Patrice's was free, wasn't it? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mine's not. My cool thing is, so I've did a podcast this morning with a guy called Akil Gordon Bedford, who is he's a freshwater biologist by qualification, but he has decided to go into making fish tanks for industries, to go into offices and stuff like that. And his tanks are just stunning. So he came in today and we had a long chat, and it's going to come out on the Mac Show feed and the Big Show feed, so you can all watch it and listen to it. But he makes the most stunning things. They are absolutely beautiful, great big glass expanses, and they're custom made. So he goes to a company, they say, right, I want it to run from there to there. He sits and measures that. Then they come in with a 300 kilo piece of glass as a tank and put it in and fill it and do everything. And they, if you do it as a company, they will bring you all of the bacteria and the bio stuff that you need so that you can literally start the tank instantly and it will run from Monday morning while they're sitting over the weekend. But he brought me a gift. And we sat and chatted. And while we were sitting chatting, he put a tank together for us. So this is the BTN Cum 12 Space Media tank. It is, it's not massive. It's probably a foot cubed each way. And it's, so he's done a tank for a friend of mine, Callum's, and his was very planty. And I said, so are we doing any plants today? He said, well, I've tried to do a tank which reflects you. Oh, okay. So he said, you go out on rails a lot. So what I've got is fossilized wood for it. So we're going to put that in as your main structures. And then we're going to use ballast at the bottom because you do a lot on the railway. But it's going to be a pea gravel mixed in with some sand and shale so that we get the right consistency. And that's representative of you. I'm like, I'm so happy at that, because if you'd have turned up and said, I've got a tiny camera to shove it, I'd have thrown you out as a charlatan, because the last thing I need in my life is another somebody with a bloody Canon camera logo on it. And that's it. It's got a little lamp on it. It's got a filter. It's got a heater. And I've got to leave it like that for a week now for the bio stuff to kind of filter around. He's going to send me some stuff to put in it that's going to make it work. I can have fish in that in a week. So will have two. He did tell me the type of fish I've got to buy, but I've forgotten them. I haven't forgotten them. I saw them. They're orange. But they're going to have a mom and a dad in there. And there's going to be a couple of little things that are going to go, the shrimp that are going to start cleaning some stuff, and then some sucker fish that are going to go and clean the glass and get the algae down and that kind of thing. But he said pretty much it'll look after itself after about a week and a half. So I would like you to have a look at, please, videreaquariums.com, V-I-D-E-R-E aquariums.com, and you'll see some of the stuff that they've put on there. They have just the most amazing tanks. They are stunning, stunning pieces of artwork, and they are artwork, exactly that, just artwork. And we've got a mutual friend, a guy called PJ Ellis, who runs a company in Birmingham called Lightbox, who does SEO, and Akhil put in a tank for him, and they've actually done a study where they get people to sit in front of the tank for 20 minutes and work. So they still take their laptop, they still do the stuff they've got to do, but they sit with this in their eye line while they're doing things, and they've measured blood pressure and stuff like that. They have 15% reduction in blood pressure across the whole corporation of the people that have sat in front of the tank while they've worked. Just right. Amazing. So this kind of biophilia stuff where you start to bring outdoors indoors in your office, it definitely works. And I have to say, as much as I've got no fish in there, I've sat and watched the ripples in the top this afternoon for about 30 minutes. It was really cool. I was just like, oh, shit. And then unfortunately I turned an alarm. I was like, oh, shit, I've got to do the Max show. So if you've got an office, get in touch with Akhil because he could do a great job for you. It's stunning piece of kit. He works anywhere in the UK, so he's just finished a job in Singapore. So if you're worldwide, he'll come and do you a custom made Akhil tank, and it is worth every week. Although mine was free. Thank you, Akhil. It's such a lovely gift. I do appreciate it so much. And we'll be showing. Actually, we could probably take the camera off Muller because no one wants to see bloody Muller. We'll put it on the tank instead, so people can watch the fish.
It's a great idea.
We'll have a video feed that's constantly up with the fish in it, and you can just log in and watch the fish swimming. That'd be cool.
That's awesome.
The fish. Patrice, you'll need to sort that out. We'll have to find a way of doing that on the homepage.
Link
to watch the BTN fish, and I'll stick me. I've got a camera up there that is wireless for the network. A plan is forming. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
Before I say that, I want to mention that Martin Magic Man said that Jackie has watched the Apple ad and says that I have every right to cry. So shame on you, Ewan.
Okay. I'm just a harsh bastard. I do apologize.
Yes, you are.
Is this the British Tank Network?
The British Tank Network. All right. Anyway, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for your time and coming along, and I'll see you later on the Big Show, yeah?
Yes.
At the moment, it's definitely you, me, and Jeff. Muller might turn up if he's bored. The retirement do, but don't tell all his mates he said that. And Greeny may come along, and Greeny will be... He hasn't been on for ages, so I would expect him on his best behavior, not...
No.
Jeff, where can we get you, buddy?
How about over at textexpander.com?
That's a great piece.
And Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut. And the Mac Show, the Big Show, a lot of other podcasts out there. And and we have Text Expander webinars coming up. So
cool.
And they're always free. And I love doing those because I get to teach people cool stuff that they didn't know they could do with Text Expander.
It is a great piece of software. And to my dying shame, I don't use it anywhere near enough. I really don't.
Well,
I need to run the webinar.
Sign up for one of the webinars.
Right.
And I teach everyone how to do really cool stuff.
Yeah. Are they at various times of the day? It's not like it's going to be midnight UK or something.
They are at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
It's a decent time.
Yeah, that's good. I'm in for that. That's 6 p.m. Yeah. That's perfect. Excellent. Yeah. And Callum, where can we get you and I'm in Max?
So I'm in Max on all the usual socials. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, obviously I'm in Max.com. If you want to book anything in, you can do it on there. you want to get a quote off us, if you want to ask us a question, we're very friendly. Any problems you've got, we don't mind helping you with.
Awesome.
So info at IMMAX, and my Twitter is at O'Hara Cal. If you want to ask me any questions as well, you're more than welcome to.
Excellent, mate. And sorry for keeping you late. You've got to get away, I know. But you've been really cool. Thanks ever so much, man.
No, that's fine. It's a pleasure to come on and do it.
Good. You're a solid name, mate, every week. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can't go on holiday either, though, that means. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech, BritishTechNetwork.com if you want to talk stuff, and I do video and photo stuff at 12 Space Media. So we will see you again next week. A full panel lined up, as long as no people drop out, which does happen occasionally, but never mind. Have a great weekend. Really enjoy yourself. My rugby club is playing down in Luton this weekend, and it's a big old game. If we win this and one more, we get to Twickenham by the final. So it would be awesome. If you're in Dunstable, come and watch us. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.